Psalm 51, verses 6 and 7. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Getting up after you've fallen down involves an understanding of what pleases God, and then doing and being what pleases Him. He desires truth and faithfulness in the inward parts. The word desireth is from the Hebrew word kofetz, which means to delight or to be pleased. God is pleased and delighted in truth and in faithfulness. The Lord especially wants our faithful obedience to His truth, and He wants us to be truthful, honest, and open with Him. When we fail to be honest with the Lord and ourselves about our lives, we end up deceiving ourselves and justify or excuse our sins. We think everything's okay, when in reality it is not. Our self-deception leads to slipping and a spiritual nosedive because we will not put God's word into practice in our lives. This is what James tries to get across to us in James 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. God's character and nature is holiness, and He wants us to be holy also. This pleases Him. This pleases God. Holiness comes from a heart that has been affected by His truth, which has the power to change a man's heart and life. The truth has the power to change your life. 1 Peter 1:15 to 16. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Getting up after we've fallen not only involves understanding of what pleases God, but it also involves an understanding of the fact that He is the one who can change us and empower us to live a life that brings honor, glory, and pleasure to Him. David acknowledges this truth when he asks the Lord to cleanse him. David asks the Lord to cleanse him, to wash him from his iniquity, to cleanse him from his sin. He asks the Lord to deliver him. He knew the Lord had the ability to wash and to cleanse him whiter than snow. For this reason, he asked the Lord to clean him up. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He's appealing to God. What is he talking about when he speaks of purging, hyssop, and washing? First of all, what does David mean by the words purge me? Purge comes from the Hebrew word kota. Careful translation of its meaning is needed here, based on the context. In this context, it means purify from uncleanness or make a sin offering. The other meanings are to sin, to wander away, to miss the path or goal. David said, Lord, purge me, cleanse me with hyssop. The question is, what is hyssop? Between 20 and 30 different plants have been proposed, but no one of them comes so near the above requirements as the lasaf, or the caper plant. The bright green creeper grows out of the wall and the rocks of the valleys of Israel, and its stiff stalk supplies both bunch and rod admirably fitted for sprinkling. Hyssop has ever been esteemed in the East as possessing cleansing properties. Used since biblical times, it removes toxins from the body. It's a time-honored herb that has been used to relieve many respiratory ailments. The ancient Greek physicians recommended hyssop for cleansing of the chest and the throat, coughs, stuffy noses, asthma, bronchitis. It alleviates heavy and congested feelings in the head and the chest. Hyssop also has laxative properties that help to clear the body of toxins. Hyssop has been used to expel worms, and on and on and on. Any of you that have listened to me over the years know that I hate to expound upon scientific research and scientists and geography and history. I like to get to the point. The point is that David is saying, Lord, purge me, cleanse me. Cleanse me, Lord. Purge me. Alludes to the cleansing of the leper in the Old Testament times. David is overwhelmed by the guilt of his sins. And he's basically, Lord, whatever you got to do. Whatever you got to do, Lord, I'm sick and tired of living with a guilty conscience. I'm sick and tired of living in sin. Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. Forgive me. He's saying, cleanse me, Lord, whatever you have to do. The idea of David here is evidently not the mere sprinkling with hyssop that would make him clean. David prays for that cleansing, of which the sprinkling with hyssop is an emblem. It's a symbol. The whole structure of the psalm implies that he was seeking, and get this, an internal change. Internal. And that he did not depend on any mere outward ordinance or right. The idea was that the sin was to be removed, cleansed, taken away, so that he might be free from it and be declared doubly clean before God. He's saying, Lord, cleanse me, wash me. In the Hebrew language, there are two words to express different kinds of washing, and they're always used with the strictest propriety. One word is the Hebrew word rakats, which represents the kind of washing which, notice, only cleanses the surface of a substance, which the water cannot penetrate, such as washing your skin, taking a bar of soap and just washing the outside of the skin. The other Hebrew word, though, for washing is kobas, which signifies the kind of washing which pervades or penetrates the substance of the thing washed and cleanses it thoroughly. It's basically used to describe the washing of clothing, washed straight through, not just using soap on the body, the outward, but the inward cleansing, not only outward, but the inward cleansing. Cleansing. The Lord looks at the heart. He's saying, Lord, wash me thoroughly and I'll be whiter than snow. Penetrate my entire being, not only on the outside, but also on the inside. Brothers and sisters, are you getting what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about some outward conformity, playing some games with God, playing the religious thing, going to church, punching your card on a Sunday, walking out the door and having nothing to do with them. I'm talking about day in, day out, hour and hour and hour. You're thinking about the Lord, praying to the Lord. The Lord's always on your mind. And when you fall in sin, you are horrified by it. It breaks your heart. Am I speaking to you today? Do you need that cleansing? Penetrate my entire body. Penetrate it, Lord. O Jerusalem, wash thy heart from wickedness, that thou may be saved. Jeremiah 4:14. The Lord dealing with the heart. A reliance on the Lord to help you live a godly life is vital in getting up after you've fallen down. This is all about the Lord, brothers and sisters. In ourselves, we have no power to live the Christian life, but under the Holy Spirit's control. Our flesh can be kept in check to some degree, a greater degree, day by day. And our thoughts, our attitudes, our actions can bring honor and glory and pleasure to the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God gives us the power to live for Him. Our victory is in Christ. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Brothers and sisters, where is your heart today? Have you fallen into sin? Are you trapped in that sin right now? You can repent. You can turn around just like the prodigal son. It says, and he came to his senses. Have you come to your senses? Do you need to be restored? And realize this, we not only need to rely upon the Lord for cleansing, but also for wisdom. We need wisdom, especially if you're going to get back up on your spiritual feet. It's ignorance or the rejection of wisdom that has led to foolish decisions and choices that have caused us to spiritually fall to begin with. God provides wisdom, though. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Have you played the fool? Have you despised the wisdom and instruction of the Holy Spirit? Have you despised the wisdom and instruction of your brothers and sisters in Christ that have tried to bless you, have tried to speak to you, but you rejected it? James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given to them. Let me close with a story. A convention was held in 1787 in America to revive the Articles of Confederation. For weeks, delegates reviewed ancient history and analyzed governments of modern Europe in search of insights. Despite the wise leadership of General George Washington, tempers flared in many debates during the hot Philadelphia summer. States continually squabbled over boundaries, and smaller states feared takeovers by larger states. At one point, this convention was on the brink of a total breakdown and failure. It was at this point of desperation that an 81-year-old Benjamin Franklin rose to quiet the shouting of the men. Silence blanketed the room, for Franklin was the senior statesman of the group, and all these men respected the elderly, silver-haired politician and world-famous scientist. Here is what he said. I have lived a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. Basically, God is sovereign. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire, a great country, can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Psalm 127, verse 1. Referring to their meager progress, he said, in this situation of this assembly, groping, as it were, in the dark to find political truth and scarcely able to distinguish it when it is presented to us, how has it happened that we have not heard the hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understandings? Franklin suggested that they begin each morning with prayer, asking for God's guidance and wisdom every day. From that day forward, the convention proceeded smoothly, because the leaders of our country sought the wisdom of God. God will do the same for us, brothers and sisters, if we will seek Him day by day. we have seen so far through this psalm, that if we desire to get back up after we've fallen into sin, we need first to confess our sin to the Lord, to seek His cleansing. We need to understand His character and His nature. And by doing so, we will understand what displeases the Lord and what makes Him happy. This should be our desire. Understanding His ability to cleanse us and to free us of the guilt and the bondage of sin and empower us to live a godly life will give us confidence as we trust and rely upon Him for these needs. The Lord has the power to make us new creatures in Christ and to mold us into His image. And brothers and sisters, the Scripture says that if you are in Christ, that you are a new creature, and that God has not only delivered you from the penalty of sin, but He has delivered you from the power of sin. Let me close by reminding each and every child of God what they are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Beloved, 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Brothers and sisters, considering the fact that we shall be like Him, what shall we do now with our life? In light of that fact that we shall be like Him when He appears, should we not turn away from all sin, flee from all sin, mortify the deeds of the flesh, and when we fall, to plead to the Lord to cleanse us, to wash us from all iniquity? And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Christ, you have no power to stop sinning. Not only do you not have the power to stop sinning, you don't have the desire to stop sinning, because you're not in Christ and you don't possess a divine nature that's causing you day by day to be conformed to that image. So I would plead with you, I would beg with you today, if you've never been saved, if you haven't been born again, if you haven't been regenerated, to come to Christ. Because notice, when I read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you're not in Christ, you cannot be a new creature. The old things have not passed away, and nothing has become new. It's the same old thing. But yet in Christ, you can be a new creature. The old has passed away, all things have become new. You who once loved sin will begin to hate sin. You who once were condemned now would be justified in the sight of God, declared righteous because of Christ's obedience to the law and His sin atonement for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If you've never come to Christ, come today. For He said, whosoever will, come. And I will in no way turn you away.